Heaven high!
Oh, you bastard! How could you?
I could by using a very special magic spell, that's how.
Wow, awesome. Well, I don't think anyone's going to listen to the rest of this episode.
No, it's hither and thither.
I'm all of a tither.
God, that's horrible. You said tither and I felt all odd and unpleasant.
I'm going to tell you something that's going to make you feel very odd and unpleasant.
Episode 185 of Rum Doings, that feels quite odd.
Yep, 185.com/Facebook.
Uh-huh.
So, yesterday...
all your troubles seemed so far away.
But tomorrow they've all congealed into one lumpy big trouble.
Yeah.
I was watching that Channel 4 attempt to be James Martin doing cookery bit with guests and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The two blokey bloke bloke blokes doing their cookery blokey bloke bloke cooking. Hey. Even though we're cooking, we're still blokes football, football, football.
Not gay.
Because C6 Steve is on, and I like C6 Steve, and I wanted him to sing.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It
I don't know
matter.
What a C6 Steve is. What is a C6
Steve? He's a singer man.
Is he a fey singer man or a bloke singer man?
He was a hobo for 30 years.
Did he ride on the train?
He genuinely rode the rails for 30 years.
With a red and white checkered handkerchief on a stick?
I don't believe so, but he does have a... Jeez. He's famed for his three-string guitar, but yesterday he played a one-string guitar, and he made it very clear that every other singer was being extremely greedy by bothering to have any other strings. It was phenomenal. Anyway, and on the episode alongside him was Amelia Fox and her baby brother.
Never heard of her.
She's an actress lady. I don't know. I've never heard of her, really. Hot Totty, I believe, is the correct term.
Okay.
Did you
become engorged by looking at the pixels that represented her image on the screen?
Only in my fists.
Okay.
There was Michael Ball.
Mm-hmm. Hot Totty, as I believe it's called.
Hot Bulky Totty.
Yes.
And there were some other people who I didn't recognise. And one Victoria Wood.
I was about to say Victoria Wood as a kind of fat joke, you know, like sometimes, you know, when I come out with non sequiturs.
Well, there you go.
I was about to say, and if I had, it would have been brilliant. If I'd have just come in a second before.
I gave you such a gap.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Victoria Wood was on. And obviously I just thought, well, this caused me to start copiously vomiting blood from my eyes, nose and mouth. But something extraordinary happened. I had a moment of connection with Victoria Wood.
Did she smack you on your bottom with her Women's Week?
They actually played that mother holing clip. Of all things, they played that clip, the live version where she does the little self-congratulatory spin on the piano seat after she's sung it.
Did your viscera pop through your mouth and collapse onto the floor with
excitement? So angry. Anyway, before that,
yes,
they were talking about Saturday night television, and they were going through the guests, asking them if they'd watched any Saturday night TV. And they started with Victoria Wood and said, did you watch any Saturday night TV last night? And she says, yes. I said, what did you watch? She said, I watched the final of The Amazing Race. And I beg your pardon. And they looked at her and, the what? And she went, oh, God, that's an American show that I somehow watched with the internet. I said, Victoria Wood, you taught The Amazing Race.
Oh, my goodness. So she is she's worse than a paedophile, then.
She is, turns out.
You better go and tell Jack that she would steal a car.
I just felt a moment of, I just thought, oh, gosh, Victoria Wood, I too. I haven't for years with The Amazing Race because I got bored of it, but...
Yeah.
And she also watched the final of The American Apprentice, but presumably by the same means. And it was lovely. She just kind of said it like it was normal. And it was, she said it like it was normal. And I thought, oh my goodness, this is going to become normal. People are going to talk about watching TV shows from other countries as if it's normal soon.
Did they do a kind of double take, and then she realised that...
Yeah, she went, the internet, blah, 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 and they kind of, like, yeah, I realised what she'd said, which was rather great.
Oh, dear.
But what was also interesting was the complete, like, blank-faced confusion from the rest of the guests and never even having heard of The Amazing Race, when it comes to high-concept game shows, the highest of all. And I think we've talked about it before, but lots of pairs in a literal race around the world.
Yes.
And so they fly from country to country trying to complete challenges and things. And it's just, it's an epic, enormous concept.
Mm.
The problem is, it's just as the series has gone on, it's on like season 20 now, and as the seasons have gone on, they're just increasingly adding people who won't get on with each other, and which they didn't need and never, and just becomes tedious because of.
Awful, awful people. What's the topic today, John?
The topic today is, do we really need a government? We seem to be getting on fine without one just now.
Did you watch the debate? So, well, not the debate, the interview with Jeremy.
I watched the extended highlights.
Hell yeah, I'm tough, as I've been coached by the man whom I pay £10,000 a day to make me say things that try to make me sound human.
Totally. I love how the audience just laughed without any attempt not to when he said that.
Hell yeah, I'm tough. No, or rather, more accurately,
Hell yeah, I'm tough.
He's such a Belmer.
he's still enormously more appealing than David Cameron.
Oh, dearie me. Are those the best we can do, Jonathan, really?
I did love the moment when Paxman asked about his brother and he looked like he was going to cry.
I think he probably did cry. I think he just, you know, he was kind of swallowing the tears.
Yeah.
Everybody knows my brother would have done this better. And did but it surprised me quite how bad Cameron was. Because I would have thought a not particularly impressive but nevertheless versed in the arts of PR Tory would have done better than he did. It was peculiarly poor, and I am very surprised that we do not have better performers in our political class.
It is. You say versed in the art of PR. He was a PR man. He was, yes, PR for Cult and Television.
That amazing chap.
Yeah, it was my region. It was when I grew up. It was when it stopped being. What was it before Cult? Thames Television. Yes, and LWT at the weekends. That was beautiful. I could, as you did that, I saw the shimmery reflection of the House of the Parliament in the water,
and the specks on the film that they had telecineed. Do you remember? It was actually a kind of shuddery film.
Yes.
Transfer. Yes. Our American or anybody under the age of 820 will not know what the hell just happened there.
That's true. Anyway,
although I did prefer the French horns. Where's this from? You'll remember this.
I don't remember.
Open University opening idea.
Oh, of course, yes,
indeed. Oh, again, the people who aren't claiming their pensions are wondering what the hell's just happened.
Yeah. Let's talk about children's television and then kill ourselves live on air.
Yeah.
So anyway, yes, Cameron PR, and it was a very easy and obvious question he got asked by Paxman that he couldn't cope with, which was, could you live on a 0 hour salary?
His answer should be, no, I couldn't.
No, I couldn't. It's obvious, such an obvious answer.
No, I couldn't.
We live according to our means, and by having been a successful PR man and now Prime Minister of the country, my circumstances are such that no, I would not be able to afford to live on that.
No, you
wage.
Say I would suddenly be plunged. I have a mortgage. I would suddenly be plunged into amazing debts and deficits. I would probably have to declare myself bankrupt. After that time, yeah, obviously I could, but it would be amazingly difficult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Imagine if you just said that.
Yeah. Exactly, and that would have diffused the question completely, but the fact he absolutely refused. Politicians need to understand that deflecting and refusing to grasp the question is never, ever, ever impressive. The worst answer you could give that appears to be straight will be better than the best deflection you can give.
And of course.
I don't understand how they... In all the years of all the Today programs, they still don't understand that. It is extraordinary to me, and it makes me wonder at the immaturity of rhetoric today that they don't understand that. It's so
especially
obvious.
He went for the worst voice, and that's not the question.
Yes.
Which, of course, is just an open door to Paxman incredulity.
Of course. And that's the stupidest thing to say. I mean, he could respond, if he had to deflect, if there were a gun to his head and he had to reflect, he could have said something like, that's just rhetorically fatuous and you know it is. I mean, even that's not very good, but it's better than saying that's not the question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be Prime Minister in 150 years after the election campaign?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
You don't think it's going to be Miliband and Stephen Hendry?
Stephen Hendry.
Yeah, right.
Mm. Oh, it's all a bit banal, isn't it?
It's the future of our democratic country process.
Yes.
This will be who Toby has to vote for.
Well, you'll be voting for Don Foster, as ever. So,
yeah. He's dead now. Well, he's not dead, but he's not standing.
Doesn't matter. You'll still be voting for him.
I can't because I don't live in his. I'd have to do election fraud to vote for him.
Again, it doesn't matter. You'll just scrawl on your piece of paper, "I want Don Foster."
I'll draw a box underneath Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Or Hero, as you once called him on this podcast. Yeah.
Jacob Rees-Mogg.
Yes, you did mention him. You're lucky to have him.
He recently said that Haig and Gove's little plot was bad, which I was very surprised to hear him say.
Why did he say that?
He said that it was naughty, cheeky mischief.
Cheeky mischief.
I was surprised. Okay, so let's quickly discuss the speaker thing.
Mm-hmm. I like the look on his face.
Why is what Haig and Gove were proposing so wrong? Why is it? Why isn't a ballot in which MPs can't be unfairly punished for their vote? Why is that bad? Worse? Why is that such a terrible thing to have suggested?
I think that MPs have to be publicly accountable for the choices they make. But it's the Speaker of the House that's the only person that can overrule them, and that can.
But this is the point. So a Speaker that they vote against, who then doesn't lose that vote, can then punish MPs by never calling on them in Parliament. That's not democratic.
Well, it doesn't matter if it's democratic, because democracy is for the people, not for those lot. You see, I don't think we should confuse democracy with the way that the executive and the legislative branches manage themselves. I think it's very different. We are the democracy. They are representing the procedures that maintain that democracy. And one of them, I think, is you have to be very transparent when you're choosing the person who is going to be at the top of that regulatory structure, I guess.
But they're not choosing, that's my point. So obviously the way they went about trying to sneak this thing through was dirty and underhanded, and that's all obvious. But I don't understand how MPs being forced to vote for a speaker they don't want to vote for is beneficial.
Well, they can take the chance and not do it if they want to.
But it's interesting how it's the Tories trying to undermine their Conservative speaker.
They've hated Burke.
They didn't want to be the first. I love that Labour picked him as a kind of screw you to the Conservative. Okay, we're going to pick a Tory who we know is going to be beneficial to us.
Yes, that's why I quite like it. In a weird way, that proves that it kind of works. The Speaker's always been a bit like that, actually. Remember the Tories like Betty Boothroyd?
Yes.
And generally, it seems that because of the various bitchy factions that appear in Parliament, it just seems to be able to create the right speaker to counterbalance those, and so it kind of works quite well. And the very fact that that Haig and Gove wanted to stop that is probably proof that it was the right thing to continue.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. What about all that applause? Why wasn't I know this? They were clapping for the Speaker, but surely the Speaker should have done something to stop applause in the Parliament. It's very naughty.
Very naughty. Yeah. Well, they were all breaking up. They were in mufti and they were watching videos on the last day, so it was all right.
It was. It was really interesting to see people clapping in Parliament. It, in fact, infinity better than whoa. Did you see Cameron talking about how his kids? He said his kids came into Parliament that day, and he said he brought his kids in, and they said to him, "If we behaved like that at school, we would have been in loads of trouble."
Yes, I know, because you're children, and if you smoke, you'd be in loads of trouble, and if you try to have sex with each other, you'd be in loads of trouble as well. But we're adults; we can do this. So shut your fatuous little mouth. That's what I would have said. And go to your room, and you're not having any pudding.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, it's a good job you'll never be a dad.
True, true. Firing blanks.
At your daughter's head whenever she's naughty.
Racist.
What? Your daughter's the racist, as we've previously established.
I think she's okay with the Chinese now. I've managed to disinfect your influence on her.
Damn it!
And she's learning from her Nigerian friend at school how to say all sorts of things. She now does say, "Oh my days."
Oh really? Is it? Yeah. So where does this, is that a Nigerian phrase? Because it's increasingly common.
It's actually I think it's more probably more Afro-Caribbean than pure African. But yeah.
See, I've mostly heard it.
Oh my days, and they slap your forehead.
I've mostly heard it from Christians not wanting to say "Oh my God."
Well, don't they say "Oh my gosh"?
Oh, there's "Oh my God." I say "Oh my gosh," which is awful, isn't it?
Oh my gosh. Well, Judy says that as well sometimes, when her friends say that, yeah.
That's right.
Oh my gosh. Oh
that's my gosh. I probably just picked that up from American TV, where it's what people say instead of "Oh my God."
Yeah. It's funny. I'm trying to think. In South Africa, when the Afrikaners were in power, they were very strict Christians, and they would bleep stuff on television. So obviously the normal swear words never would make it through to television. Mm-hmm. And even things like bloody would never make it through to seven. Damn would be bleeped. And all references to God would be bleeped. So, oh my God, we'll go, oh my bleep.
Wow.
But they did allow, I noticed this even at the time, even as a kid, they allowed thank God.
Hmm.
So it was obviously because they considered that a prayer or an invocation.
Yes,
you should be thanking God, they said. But you weren't allowed to say, so obviously some cleric had informed them that "Oh my God" was taking the Lord's name in vain, but when somebody said "Thank God," it was to be not taking the Lord's name in vain.
It's just as silly in America, the country in which you can say "ass" as often as you like, and obviously you can say "hole," but put them too close together and you'll be bleeped.
Also, what was quite funny about the Afrikaners is that SABC, even though it had a license fee, they had adverts on every day except on Sunday. No adverts on Sunday because the Lord was resting and didn't want
to don't want to be disturbed by some furniture warehouse.
Of course, there was no television. Jingle. There was no television until late 1979 because the Postmaster General said that television was the devil's medium and they had to wait for him to die before it was introduced.
Good times.
So yeah. So there you are. Did you enjoy Nick Clegg?
What did Dick Clegg do?
I'm just saying, did you enjoy him over the last few years? Because he's probably going soon.
He was delicious.
He was yummy. Victoria went to a Mumsnet live meetup with him and others.
Ugh.
She was surprised at how pockmarked and generally unhealthy he looked.
Oh, really?
Flesh. Yeah. I mean, you saw him. He wasn't...
At the beginning. I went to the town hall meeting at the beginning of the...
Oh, was he all fresh-faced and lovely then? Yeah.
Although he was... Yeah, he was... you know, we don't want to rehearse that.
He was a little portly even then. Stink of fags.
He didn't stink of fags, but he was. He just looked a little dishevelled.
Mm, yeah, she says that, and he did look oddly dishevelled. That was the phrase as well. He's a disreputable. Mm. Almost he's, as if he were. Shall we continue to help people?
I think we should.
Well, what?
Tom Hayho.
Hayho.
Hey How? Hayhow. It's a great last name if it's real.
Yes, probably Chinese.
He's
it's Tom. Hey How.
That's beautiful pronunciation, although you mispronounced it, and that meant your mother is a dog.
Correct.
What should I have for breakfast every day? Now, he thinks he's being flippant, but I know that you're going to want to answer this question.
You don't need to have breakfast if you don't feel like it.
But maybe he wakes up hungry.
If you wake up hungry, it's fine, but this whole nonsense about you must eat breakfast, otherwise the Lord will strike you down and your firstborn shall be enveloped in plague is incorrect. If you don't feel like breakfast, don't have it. Indeed, the healthiest thing you can probably do is have
enema.
A 16-hour window where you don't eat anything and shove all your eating into 8 hours. Now, most people can't do that, but that's very healthy because it allows your body to repair itself, to engage in autophagy and so on. But if you want to have breakfast, as long as you don't have a lot of sugar, enjoy.
Do you know what I had for breakfast today?
I like avocados for breakfast, but they do cost £8 million each.
I love avocado. Mm-mm. Especially when you're in San Francisco and then everything, you can have avocado with everything.
Yeah, a good breakfast is if you get little chunks of Comté cheese or any sort of cheese that's kind of hard but has a nice flavour, cut it into little pieces, put it on top of the avocado, put a little bit of olive oil on that, and I like to put a bit of vinegar and garlic salt on that too, and that makes for a delicious breakfast. If you're feeling very rich, you can sprinkle on some pine nuts as well, but those cost even more than the avocados. So that makes a delicious, sustaining breakfast. Have that with a cup of coffee or tea at your choice, and a big glass of sparkling water with lemon, and you'll be set.
Ham and cheese omelette, and then slice some avocado and just lie it across the top of the omelette. Oh!
Avocados are very good. Very good so indeed. Good. Can't we grow them in this country for a change?
Okay, I'll get right on that. Okay. I had my traditional breakfast of crispy bacon and dip.
Mm-mm. What did you dip it into?
It's this dip that Tesco sells.
You call it a dip?
It's, I can't remember. Oh, hang on, I've got the packaging for it here. Sour cream and chive dip.
Can't you wouldn't it be just cheaper to buy some sour cream and mix in some chives and some salt?
Not when it's on special offer.
Oh, okay.
But yes, that probably would be cheaper.
What did Toby have for breakfast?
He had some boobies.
Oh, right.
But I had breakfast pudding today. I don't normally do that.
What was that?
I had some blueberries and cream.
Oh, yes. Did you whip the cream?
No.
I whipped some cream yesterday and I grated in some dark chocolate and Judy, Victoria and I just ate the whole bowl of it.
That was lovely.
It was very good. So, you know that blueberries can be utterly lovely or can be the foulest little woolly pieces of evil.
Oh, the mushy ones. Oh,
those mushy ones are spiteful. They're nasty little things. But the thing is, I react to them as if they're actually dangerous. There's something so wrong about these that it's probably going to cause me to get the nose cancer.
So he shouldn't have a bowl of cereal or toast.
Yeah, don't have a bowl of cereal. That's just junk. It was created by Dr. Kellogg to stop you wanking.
Exactly. You should have. But Mr. Hey Ho Tom, for breakfast every morning, you should have an omelette with some avocado on top and a wank.
That's right.
Okay.
I think that's answered the question very, very succinctly.
I think it has.
Next question.
It's getting complicated now because people started tweeting about something else to me in the timeline.
Well, let's pretend that one of the things that they tweeted to you was a cry for help. So give me one of those extraneous tweets and I will respond to it in an auntie way.
Okay, this person's recommending some B-movies. Might I recommend some B-movies? Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, Reanimator, Dororo, From Beyond, Dagon and Tusk.
No, I don't think that's right, actually. Why are they recommending B-movies? You asked for them in particular?
My friend Uncle Daddy Craig was coming down for the weekend.
Did you choose any of those?
We didn't. We totally intended to. We've both seen Tucker and Dale vs. Evil, so we didn't watch that. But we ended up... Everything we intended to watch, we couldn't find on the Netflix and so on. So we ended up watching something similar. So we wanted to watch The Island of Terror, the classic 1955 Hammer horror.
Which contains
the immortal line. Peter Cushing looks down at his microscope, looks up and says, "This protein structure is not adenosine triphosphate."
Oh, yes.
Which is a glorious moment in cinema history. Mm. It's a film about a man trying to create a new carbon-based life form and accidentally creates a silicon-based life form.
Oh.
The labels on the jars got swapped or something. And this silicon-based life form is a wobbly-wobbly mushroom blob thing that sucks all the calcium out of a human body, leaves them as jellies.
Okay.
It's great. Everyone should watch Island of Terror. If you can't find it anyway, it's not on any streaming services.
It's pirated.
It's hard to pirate, too. It's a difficult film to find.
Hmm.
But we couldn't find that anywhere. So we searched Netflix for it, and instead, Netflix came up with The Terror of Mechagodzilla.
Mecca? Oh, I'm not. I thought it was Islamophobic for a minute. Yeah, Mecca.
So we watched the terror of Mechagodzilla instead, which was amazing.
And
it was a super brilliantly dubbed Japanese Godzilla film in which some baddies. It has the previously on the Godzilla franchise section that lasts about 5 minutes at the beginning of the movie, so it kind of caught us up to date. And so some evil space scientists, some evil spacemen,
of course,
who have created a mecha version of Godzilla.
Mm-hmm.
There's also, meanwhile, Tyrannosaurus, or Tyrantula, I can't remember, this giant other dinosaur-y thing living under the sea that's controlled by a psychic cyborg girl.
Mm-hmm.
And there's Godzilla himself who just pops up every now and then. And then they just generally blow up Tokyo a lot.
bearing in mind the wide scope of your racial prejudice, did you not mind that these were Japanese, CTI, close to Chinese salt?
I have nothing against the Japanese whatsoever.
So you don't think they were aliens?
No. Why would I think that?
Okay, so it is focused specifically on the Chinese. You don't look at a Malaysian and think, Alpha Centauri.
Not at all, no. It's a ridiculous accusation.
Okay, specifically the Chinese. Fair enough.
Of course.
Okay,
good, yes.
Good. Right.
Okay. So that was great. So we watched a bunch of excellent B-movies over the weekend.
How did you do that? I thought you brought a baby.
Well, I have a wife. No, that's not true. In fact, we looked after Toby loads. Toby watched a good deal of I, Frankenstein before he went down for his nap.
Did you enjoy it?
Not really. We both, all three of us got bored halfway through.
Right.
We didn't finish I, Frankenstein. Craig has an irrational prejudice against Bill Nye, which didn't help.
My favourite role of Bill Nye's was in People Like Us, where he played the photographer. If anybody hasn't listened to that, you should.
That's interesting, because I was going to say that I feel like Bill Nye was the substitute that stepped in after we lost Chris Langham.
Oh, right, yeah.
I feel like he just stepped into all of Chris Langham's roles.
Can we allow Chris Langham back now?
I would like to now. I don't understand the lack of forgiveness in this area.
It's ridiculous and broad brush. I think he needs to come back. I kind of had a weird worry. I thought, well, what does he do now? I mean, is he living
in a cardboard box? I was thinking about that. Is he driving a bus or?
It's just weird to think, what do these people do when the tap is suddenly turned off? Somebody should do a story about it, or at least some analysis of it, because it's a genuine question which clearly more than one of us has mused about.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we should try and get him on the podcast.
Oh, that would be really nice. We could talk about the Muppets.
I don't think it's going to happen, though.
Seems unlikely.
No, I could try.
What else did we watch? We watched... so it was kind of... Toby was watching these movies with us and we were entertaining him. It was great, there was a lot of pausing.
Yes.
Which I think is, a bit... Craig was very patient with this new version of my life.
Yeah. I'm not.
Oh, no? Oh, well. Mm-hmm. What did we... We saw Thul, or Tele... which is a Norwegian film about a strange fairy girl.
Uh-huh.
It was quite good.
Right.
Yeah, it was all sorts. Very exciting. Oh, when we watched the vast... I think we managed to finish Batman and Robin before Craig had to leave.
Oh, was that the terrible film?
That's the best one!
Oh, yes, the one that you saw once and were on a trip somewhere.
That's right, when I was in Scotland for a month. Yes.
Scotland, same thing.
It's all the same. Not England, I call it.
Not England, yes.
It's still gloriously entertaining, as I'm pleased to say. It's non-stop nonsense, all from beginning to end. Uma Thurman's overacting is wonderful.
Uma Thurman. Whatever happened to her?
I believe she's still an actress lady.
Tell me what other questions there are for us.
Okay. This is a serious one. How can a person in their 30s whose life has been crippled with anxiety and depression and has no qualifications move forward?
Suicide would be one option.
That would not be moving forward. That would be staying very still. We're working on moving forward.
But people do sometimes make that choice.
Don't be an idiot. Suicide is a horrible option. It's selfish and stupid and doesn't solve anything other than your own selfish needs.
But you need to explain that, because people do sometimes think at the moment, okay, well, maybe suicide is the way out.
It certainly is a way out, but
you have to explain, why is it not?
Because it is, it's cat in a cupboard thinking. It's the logic that if you shut a cat in a cupboard, a cat thinks, I have to spend the rest of my life in this cupboard and nothing will ever change. And it's that it's that level of thinking, and you're not a cat, you have a better brain than that. And the fact that everything right now is appalling and life is not worth living right now does not mean that's the rest of life. That's right now. And if you seek help, and if you seek support, and if you seek love, you can have a life worth living. And committing suicide rules out that entirely.
I've always argued with people who want to commit suicide. Will say, well, actually, that's a perfectly rational choice, and you're going to be dying anyway, so you're just putting it off by a decade or three. But what you're actually doing is think of all the awful things that you're thinking about. Think, however trivial it is, think of the fleetingly pleasurable experiences that you do have. You might enjoy a nice steak. You might enjoy the putative, nice warm bath. You might even enjoy seeing the next series of a particular television program. And just don't focus on anything grand. Just think, actually, amongst all the unpleasantness, these I'll also be cutting off the eternal possibility of ever enjoying these little sparks again as well. And it sounds trivial, but you'd be surprised at how people don't consider that. They sort of say, well, oh, actually, I do like to eat X, Y, or Z, or I do like to watch A, B, or C. And it kind of stops them in their tracks to realize that not only will you be stopping the bleak unpleasantness of whatever you're contemplating, but you'll also be cutting off those tiny little bright lights as well. And people underestimate how many bright lights there are that they are going to be extinguishing. And so I would say maybe if... But I mean, there are times when you would commit suicide, let's be honest. You would.
I would?
Yes. Yeah, some sort of terminal illness where you knew that it was just going to get increasingly painful and you weren't going to get the care that you needed. You may take the choice at some point. And
I suppose in those circumstances, but that's so extremely specific.
Exactly. So you mustn't say that it's never, ever, 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 ever possible. Of course it is. But most of the time we can find things that make it the less attractive option, as long as you can, as you say, as long as you can.
Anyway, he's not planning on killing himself. He's asking how to. He's not. And he's asking how.
Well, no, you don't. He wants to kill himself.
Well, I don't, and that's the good news. So, because he's.
Oh, you're giving him the good news. Well, that's
the question. The question
depressing him.
The question of how do I move forward is not the question of a suicidal person. So,
okay. Probably don't commit suicide yet.
Don't do that. That's an absolutely
not yet.
That's a terrible method of moving forward.
There are plenty of other things to look at first.
Don't use phrases like move forward.
That's a banal phrase. Don't use that phrase. What was his problem again? He hasn't ever worked.
Anxiety and depression. So I have been at times I would use the phrase crippled by it. Not long term, thank goodness. But I mean, I've had it for 15 years and it has been extremely deleterious, if that's the correct pronunciation.
Deleterious.
It's been bad.
Yeah.
That's the word I was looking for. I've had miserable times. 6 months blocks of really awfulness.
Yeah, you are terrible when that happens. You're so boring.
I know.
Probably even bore yourself.
But that was my 20s. That hasn't really been the case in my 30s. It's been shorter term when it happens, because I have done lots of things in order to help myself get better.
Yes.
So the first thing you need to do is go to your GP. Your GP will be rubbish, but you go to your GP anyway. And you ask for a referral. GPs don't like giving referrals because it costs them money, but they are obliged to give one if you ask.
Just
so,
kick them in the stomach if they refuse.
Exactly. Stamp on their stupid GP toes. Yes. I have had extraordinarily good experiences going to GPs about this, in fact, twice. Mm. Once in Guildford, once here. GPs who've been phenomenally good. So, and even GPs who are bad, you can still say, look, I want a referral, I am living with this crap and it's your job to refer me to someone who can help. So you do that. It's a huge step because you are acknowledging that you deserve it. That's a good reason for doing it. And you start spinning those wheels.
Like a hamster.
Like at the beginning of like the Flintstones character getting their car going, spins on the spot for a moment and then exactly. And then goes, whew, and that's what you're aiming for. Yeah, no qualifications is an interesting part of it. You don't need any qualifications to be good at stuff.
Yeah, well, I think we need to know what he's good at. Check his or her Twitter feed and see if he or she shows any interests.
I shall have a look.
Yeah.
Once again, no description. But anyway.
What do they tweet about?
I'm not going to read Twitter while doing this. It doesn't work. But you don't need, like, my qualifications. I've got a degree in youth community work and applied theology.
Yes.
And I run a gaming website. What's your degree in, Nick?
English and philosophy.
And what's your job?
With the computers and things.
Yeah, so you don't need qualifications to get a good job. And you can get qualifications. That's another brilliant thing you could do.
Get some qualifications, I guess. You could do the open university. If you're... if you have anxiety, social anxiety, do the Open University, because most of it you can do on your own, and you just meet up for the occasional seminar, which is fine, which you can guy yourself up for, and you can get yourself a diploma or a qualification quite easily that way. Alternatively, the job market's fairly buoyant at the moment, and if you're literate and you have a proclivity to anything, just try to apply in that area and just carry on doing it again and again and again.
And I think I know we've trodden this ground before, but again, the idea that you can and deserve to get better. So if you were someone who'd had a broken leg for the last 10 years and
you don't deserve anything. You can, but you don't deserve anything. I think if you think you deserve stuff, it's going to be counterproductive.
Okay, well we're different interpretations of the same idea. But if you had a broken leg for the last 10 years and you can't walk because you've got this broken leg, and you're refusing all treatments and crutches and bandages and plasters and splints and stuff, you would rightly be labelled an idiot.
Like the French and Saunders farm lady characters. Stuff and nonsense.
Yes.
Don't deal with it.
If you have a broken brain and you've had it for 10 years and you've refused all help and treatment and splinters and splints and plasters and
then
bandages,
get a new one.
You are still an idiot. So you need to go and stop being an idiot and go and get the splints and plasters that are available for such things, which you get by going to your GP. And seeking referrals onto, depends what you need. Like I ended up, I've seen gentle, lovely, caring therapists.
Useless.
And that was, quite good, but not, can be really good. And I've seen psychiatric, most recently was referred to a psychiatric nurse. There is no stigma about that. It turns out that's quite fine.
How embarrassing. You went to see a psychiatric nurse. You're a psychiatric nurse goer.
it sounds like, oh my goodness, that's so serious. And then when you actually go and meet a psychiatric nurse, it turns out you're just meeting a human being in a room for a nice chat.
Yeah.
In fact, it was one of the best and most healing and productive hours of my life was when that meeting.
Yes.
It wasn't intended to be treatment on any level. It was assessment, and it turned out to be the best hour's treatment I've ever had for my anxiety.
Good, despite my best efforts.
I know. So there you go. Okay, and we can't solve this. We're not qualified to solve this problem. You have to see a medical professional.
I'm qualified.
But you can't. I think the most important thing is to recognise that it can change and will if you work hard. And it's tough to do that when you're depressed, for sure.
Do some exercise.
But you can do it, and go for a jog. For goodness sake, pull your socks up.
Now go for a jog and listen to a podcast while you're jogging, or even go for a walk. No, non-fatuously, if you're not healthy or whatever, just go for a walk while listening to a podcast for half an hour. Make that part of your plan. Just do that because
you're not wrong.
Actually, there is genuine clinical evidence that just walking every day in the outside is at least as helpful as SSRIs and probably more so if you're depressed. So at least do that. Won't cost you anything. And at worst, you'll listen to some interesting podcasts.
It's true. I hate acknowledging this, but it is true.
Yeah. Next.
Someone called Trellism.
Not interested in that one.
No.
Well, let's hear it. Probably banal, but let's hear it.
The question is, why do I feel bad about squashing antlion larvae now when I didn't before? Is it to do with being a parent?
I get a bit Buddhist. I don't like killing even the smallest little insect when it's under my direct agency. So if there's a little silverfish or a larvae inside the bath, I won't just wash down the plug hole. I'll try and lift it out.
Do you adopt it?
No, I'll try and lift it out.
Raise it as your own.
Yeah, I'll lift it out of the bath before I pour the bath water, and I'd build a little home for it and put aside a little bit for its annuity.
Well, unfortunately, your wife here is referring to antlion larvae, which are pretend.
Don't know what an antlion is.
It's Half-Life, so they are bad.
Doesn't matter if they're pretend. Insects are pretend as well, in as much as they have as much.
I'm fairly sure they're on pretend.
No, but an antlion larvae have as much sentience as any real live larvae does.
No, that's true.
So worrying about the effects are about as relevant. So I would say it's still to do with one's own empathetic standing, I guess.
So I think what you've done is argue against your own silly Buddhist ways.
I'm not saying that they're rational. I'm saying that I think it's to do with a kind of, that's under my agency, and I'm not going to do that unnecessarily under my watch. It's almost more of an aesthetic thing, I suppose. I'm not going to cause that amount of disruption when I don't need to.
I'm reading more questions now.
Okay, go on.
I have all known ailments. Can you cure me?
Yes.
Beecham's powders. That's what you need for that.
You need Beecham's powders and leeches.
That's true.
In all seriousness, if you're genuinely feeling like bad like that, you may have systemic inflammation. I would have your dental health looked at, because systemic inflammation can actually start in the mouth, can start with gingivitis, which spreads across the whole body and can cause all sorts of problems. If that's not an issue, then I would go on a, you can have it medically supervised, but you do an exclusion diet for 30 days where you have the most basic things and then you start including things again. And under supervision, you see whether things like, for example, if you have slight arthritic symptoms or inflammatory system symptoms or eczema or things like that, if that starts inflaming after the reintroduction of dairy or wheat or whatever, then you'll know you have an issue, or eggs sometimes. For example, the weirdness is many more people are allergic to chicken eggs than duck eggs. People who are allergic to chicken eggs can have duck eggs fine. It's the protein in the albumin, apparently, which very rarely do people see allergies when they're in duck eggs. So if you're looking forward to having an egg and you think you have an egg allergy, try using a duck rather than a chicken. That's good advice, I think. People will be very thankful for it.
You are being silly, because why would we eat the ova of any bird?
Yes, I don't eat abortions. Thank you very much.
Sea monkey, at a sea monkey, tweets, help me, how do I get out of this jug of water? I just swim in circles all day. It's not very fulfilling. Yours, a sea monkey.
See the previous discussion about sentience and so forth. I don't think you really think very much.
They've got a Twitter account, Nick.
That's true, actually. Sea monkey story was a very interesting story. You can read it online about how he started marketing these very, very small brine shrimp. Mm-hmm. Who, of course, they go into this kind of desiccated stage, larval stage, where you add water and then they reanimate themselves. And there are actual questions from vegans saying, is it cruel to keep sea monkeys and things like that? But
do you know, they act, I'm looking at some pictures of them now, and they actually activate my crustacean phobia. creepy, creepy, horrible. I'm looking, they're like, they're horrible.
They're advertised in these in the back of comic books and things like that, and you would send them. You get these little kind of aquarium thing and these sachets, and you put them inside the water, and they magically appear.
South Park did an amazing episode about sea monkeys, where they Cartman is very excited about getting some sea monkeys, having read one of these adverts. And then is devastated to find out they're just brine shrimp. Until it turns out, if you combine them with semen. And then they do actually turn into the living civilization pictured on the box.
Oh, excellent.
Yes.
Very good. Yeah, so no, I don't think you have any perception of your surroundings beyond the most basic of reactive stimulus response. So, no, I disagree with you, sea monkey.
Harold von Braunhut.
Is he a Nazi?
Inventor of the sea monkey.
Yes. He was a bit of a Nazi, I think.
He was an American mail order marketer and inventor, most famous as the creator of the son of the amazing sea monkeys and X-ray specs. So he's X-ray specs and sea monkeys.
Yes.
Extraordinary.
Indeed.
Racial views.
Indeed, yes.
The Washington Post stated in a report that despite his Jewish ethnicity, he had a close association with white supremacist groups, buying firearms for a Ku Klux Klan faction and regularly attending the Aryan Nations annual conference.
So you sea monkey are basically part of the Hitler Youth.
In a 1988 interview with the Seattle Times, he referred to the, quote, inscrutable slanty Korean eyes, end quote.
Well, there you go.
Korean shop owners.
There you go. You have a brother believer there, John.
I have nothing against the Koreans.
Their eyes are at just the right angle.
That's right. He was quoted as saying, you know what side I'm on. I don't make any bones about it.
Fair enough.
There you go. That's Harold von Braunhut.
Father of the sea monkeys and X-ray specs.
I can't believe that he did both. And I also can't believe that he was a Nazi. Good times.
Okay, carry on.
How did X-ray specs work? I mean, because this is obviously an American phenomenon, and indeed before our lifetimes.
I think it was some sort of like a grating thing on the glasses. You had these concentric circles or something, which caused diffraction patterns around things you looked at, so it just made things look a bit blurry or whatever. Yeah,
very clever. All these things I never understood, but always see referred to in American TV shows. So the other one was these rings. What were they called? Code rings or something you get from cereal packets. Never understood what they were, but always saw them in American TV shows and comics.
How exciting.
We're meant to be saving babies, as Thingy used to say.
Mm. Well, let's save some more.
I can't find a tweet deck. There we go. Okay, this is I replied to this person directly because this is very, very serious. This is someone saying, I'm very depressed by being confronted by all this S-word war corruptness which happens around me, in my city, my friends, and my world. What should I do? I can't even play video games longer than 1 hour because I get distracted, demotivated. I'm too frightened to get a job because I think I suck, so it's hard to start working / applying, but even harder to keep doing it.
Do we have any well-adjusted normal listeners, John?
I don't think we attract that sort.
No, we do attract a certain sort, I'm afraid. It's sort of what it's already been said, hasn't it?
I think so. I think everything, yes, indeed. But it's always useful to direct this stuff toward an individual.
It does suggest, you know, I think what we've said before remains true. Go and get help. Go out for a walk. Yeah. Listen to a podcast. Focus on the small things that you do enjoy, and remember that they exist along with all the bleakness. And don't expect there to be a nicer universe than the one you're in. I think people get disappointed that they're not in perfect paradise. And I think you have to say, this corruption and bleakness that you see around you is not new. It's been there from the start, and it's something that we all have to deal with. It's not a novel discovery. Your friends and relatives are not going around life thinking that they live in perfection. You just have to have strategies to deal with the fact that you're not, and you don't have the strategies yet, but you can.
Good. There you go. Done.
Sorted.
Saved him.
Do get back in touch with us if you need any specific answers. But I think
get in touch with a medical professional if you have specific answers.
No, but I mean get in touch with, if there's specific answers, like who do I speak to or what do I do today, and we can put you in touch with people as well if you need to.
That's right. Well, there's, in fact, if you go to rockpapershotgun.com I'm trying to think what the right thing to search for is. If I type in anxiety,
the bleak nullity of existence, is what you
said. That's what you're after. Yes, if you go to rockpapershotgun.com and just search a site for anxiety, the first result is an article I wrote called "Hello, I Have Anxiety Disorder." Click on that,
read it, and be cured.
Read it, and I will save your life. No, and scroll to the bottom part of it, and there's lots and lots of links in red, just before the final image. For different places, depending on where you are in the world. There's a link. In fact, there's a link there for resources for including support lines from every country in the world.
I'll give you something to live for. Future episodes of Rum Doings. You can't listen to those from heaven.
And our listener commits suicide.
Oh, well, so will I. I'll join you there.
Next question. We'll just record live from heaven.
Yes, live from heaven.
You won't be going to heaven, Nicholas.
It's true. I'm being silly.
You've opted out.
I can Skype you from hell.
I've been listening to Old Harry's Game. It's not as good as I remembered.
No, it's no good at all.
It's no, but it has these really nice moments. But the problem is Andy Hamilton, which is a bit unfair since he writes it.
Is he a dwarf?
I don't think so. I think he's just short.
He sounds like a dwarf.
He's got a compact. He's definitely got a compacted vocal cords, yeah. But he's just too. He's, when you listen to it, I keep hearing like what I imagine he would also say on the news quiz.
Well, that is a problem. Yes.
Yeah.
He can't play a character very well.
Whereas the wider storyline, what I like is that he plays Satan without playing it as a character. He just does his regular voice and. But the wider storylines are really fun, and the professor is a really great character. He shouldn't have carried the show on after the actor died, but but the problem is the minutiae of the show is very annoying.
Yeah, it is.
Let's get rid of it. But the odd thing about it is absolutely everyone goes to hell in his storyline. There's no one makes it into heaven.
Well, who was it to believe that there are only 125,000 people?
144,000, it's the Jehovah's Witnesses.
So, you know, maybe it's the Jehovah's Witness version of things.
Could be.
Yeah.
Could be. And he has God. He plays God is a revolting character in the program.
Let's hear our last question then.
No, that's it. We have heard our last question.
No, let's hear our last question then.
Well, I'll have to make one up.
Well, we'll just take anything that's tweeted you, and that'll be the question.
I'll tell you what we do, since we're ripping off Mabumbam. Let's just go to Yahoo Answers.
Okay.
And steal something from there.
Well, we're ripping off who they used to be.
No, you've been corrected on that.
They don't do it anymore.
You've been corrected. They do, apparently.
No, they don't. They just pretend to.
Where's they don't seem to have a section for love. Love life.
It doesn't have to be love.
But that's kind of cool questions. I don't want a question on entertainment and music or games and recreation, do we?
No, not at all.
Well, exactly. Where's like a section for love and life?
Love and life.
Love and life. That's what it should be called, love surely. And life.
You'll find one.
Home and garden. Local businesses. What have Yahoo Answers done?
Is there really no... Is there going to be relationships, spirituality or something vague like that?
There's not even that. Is there religion? There's not even... There's nothing beginning with R as a category.
Religion, relationships? No?
I'm telling you, nothing beginning with R.
Spirituality?
Nothing. No, nothing of that. Science and mathematics or social science?
Social science is as close as we're going to get.
I know. Who gives better hugs, men or women?
I think this is interesting. In general, a woman will give a better hug, but a man who gives good hugs will give better hugs.
I was just going to say, I 100% agree with you.
Mm.
Women in general, and if you average it out, you get a better hug from a girl, but the best hug you'll ever get will be from a guy.
Exactly. I think that's fair enough. And I don't think anybody could argue about that. Inarguable.
This question says, do you love me? So I'm going to ask you, Nick, do you love me?
Who, the Yahoo
person? No, you. Do you love me?
What is this human thing you call love?
Come on, answer the question.
I don't know. It's a very loaded term. It's a very loaded term because the problem is with you lot, it's also overloaded with a lot of theological implications, isn't it? So I have to be careful that you're not trying
Do you agape me?
Eros comes into it. I'm not sure that I agape.
That's why I pulled Eros right out. Obviously you are agape. Suppressing lust for me, but
yes, I think we can get as far as agape, and if you buy me the right drink, Eros might come into it.
Okay, fair enough. What do you think of a 19-year-old virgin?
It depends which one.
It says update a virgin girl. There you go.
It depends which one.
Oh, come on. You can't need more specifics than that.
I can. If it's a cat, I feel very sorry for because about it should be dead.
Let's assume it's a human, as it managed to muster the effort to type into Yahoo Answers.
Historically, you've left it a bit late, love. In current climate, seems all right. You'll be all right.
Yeah.
I mean, in Jesus and Mary's time, come on, you should already have had a couple of kids by now and be a grandmother, so stop your nonsense.
I find it quite sad that it's even a question.
Of course it's a question. We are biologically programmed to want to have sex, and it's a bit of a biological peculiarity to not do it when you're beginning to be at your prime to do it. So you can say, well, even though that's biologically true, here are some arguments against it. I don't think we should be too... I think people go too far the other way. And they go, oh, of course, well, how could it even be a question? It's lovely. No, there are reasons why it might be considered a bit odd or why it might be considered counter to what you're feeling, and you discuss them in an analytical way.
Yeah, fair enough. Seems fair.
Mm.
Are you cute?
Yes, yes.
Okay, that's so. Dealt with quite easily.
Yeah.
Should women be given equal pay without doing equal work?
Well, there is a debate about this because some people argue that even if women do fewer hours and their careers, or because of being mothers, they should be compensated by this and be given more pay for less work to make up for that fact. I don't know, probably not to that degree, but... in the more facile, for every hour that a woman works, she should receive the same amount of money as every hour that a man works. The problem comes, why it looks like there's a pay gap is that women will often choose jobs that pay less well, things like, you know, social sciences and so forth. And also they will be more likely to choose part-time or flexi-time jobs, which cumulatively don't pay as well. When you actually add up women in full-time positions, I'm talking about in Western societies at the moment, America, United Kingdom, and so on, then pay is equal at the moment. Where the problem happens is when you try and compare part-time, flexi-time contracts in certain sorts of jobs with full-time contracts in other sorts of jobs, and then it becomes very complicated and I have no answer.
Try two, not try and. Does all human life hold intrinsic value?
No.
Do you See, do you really believe that? I mean, I can't understand how you can conclude it, but do you believe it?
Yes, I do believe it. It has no intrinsic value. It's all extrinsic.
I just don't know how you can feel that, though.
Intrinsically, any life, human life or other life, is some very, very complex carbon molecules. What's intrinsically value?
Well, but in intrinsic, in the personality.
That's electrons playing games within those molecules. What are you talking about?
There's no evidence for that. I mean, it's assumed, but there's no evidence for that.
For what?
For personality being the result of electron movement.
Well, you could postulate that personality is a result of an invisible and undetectable soul, or you could say it's electrons. At least I can detect the electrons.
Yes, indeed, but there's no good kind of method.
Well, I could postulate that it's to do with the ordering of the matter inside the body, and I think it's a fairly safe postulation until I see evidence to the alternative. And as such, there is no more intrinsic value in a human being than there is in a rock.
Men, let's all start being lazy/bastards and non-achieving in life and have nothing to show for in our life so that feminist won't be.
What?
I see how people have interpreted this question.
What's weird is that could either be very pro-feminist or very anti-feminist. I can't tell.
I'm deciding that the complete lack of apostrophes throughout the question means anti.
Okay, yes. How odd. But it's also saying don't be the... It's kind of... It seems to be don't be the hideous reprobates that allow feminists to get away with calling men hideous reprobates or something. Don't be the worst caricature of manhood that the feminists would accuse you of being such. You'd be giving them the ammunition to call all men that, I guess, something like that.
I can never let caricature go. But anyway, I've noticed I clicked on it, even though he's put a question mark at the end of his question.
Mm-hmm.
He then does have a little addendum to finish the sentence,
mm-hmm.
rather confusingly. It becomes, let's all start being lazy bastards and none achieving in life and have nothing to show for in our life so that feminists won't be able to say what we have is due to male privilege. And then, rolling my eyes.
Okay, oh, I see. All right.
I don't really, it doesn't make a great deal more sense.
No, it's saying, I don't know.
Here's a good question for you. Do you support the death penalty for a woman proven to have falsely accused a man of rape?
Yes, of course.
Just kill them all.
Kill. Why not just kill all women?
Okay, that would solve the problem pretty much straight away.
Yeah.
There'd be none left to make false accusations.
Yes, indeed.
Why do we have gender-separate bathrooms? Are there any places where both share the same bathroom?
There are, actually.
Starbucks.
No, I'll tell you what.
I'm serious. All Starbucks toilets are either.
True. But also, what was interesting is that Victoria went to Rocky Horror Picture Show at the BFI the other night and was part of their Gay, Lesbian, Bi, Trans Festival.
Uh-huh.
And they had specifically converted one of the disabled toilets into a gender-neutral toilet,
mm-hmm.
so that people who weren't sure could go there.
It's becoming more common. Again, South Park did an amazing episode about that. Yeah. In fact, it ran. The neutral toilet ran for a few episodes.
There. On the one hand, there is something very peculiar about separate toilets. On the other hand, if you've ever been to a gentleman's loo, you know that I think it's not fair to...
Oh, my goodness.
To inflict that on a delicate lady made of sugar and spice and all things.
There should be a special day if once a year where ladies are allowed into the men's toilets to experience... And the owners of companies should not be allowed to know what day it's going to be in advance. So ladies can go and see quite what cesspit misery men have to go to the toilet in. Yeah. Oh, service station toilets. This toilet was last checked in 1873.
Why not have a shower, trucker?
It's just, and every you go in, you have to go into four or five cubicles before you can find one that where there isn't poo on the walls. And that's not a joke. That's not ha ha ha. I'm exaggerating. That's you find one where the poo is confined to just around the inside of the toilet bowl. Mm. Which you go into the women's toilets, and it's just and everything's glowing and sparkly, and there's a handmade man, a beautiful buff man, handing out toilet paper sheets
and rose petals.
Indeed. Oh, it's so awful how awful the men's toilets are, because of how awful men's are at going to the toilet. It's not that tricky. I understand spray as much as the next bifurcated penis man. That's apparently we all have. Yeah. But you just, it's not hard to wipe it down afterward. And it's especially not difficult to get poo-poo in the toilet.
It's also not difficult to be careful not to not avoid the sensor to flush the toilet. Now, I'm going to creep under the sensor that the toilet doesn't flush.
Yes, that's true. It's quite tricky.
Yeah, but people manage to do it. They put in the effort just to make sure.
Oh, it's awful.
Full of awe. Last question then, and then we'll go.
Okay. It's have to be a really good one then.
It will be.
At what age do men realise that they are sick? There's more to the... I'll give you the rest of the question. A perverse sickness set on destroying the human race. The kind of perverse where they need to jack off all the time, fantasise about raping their teacher just cause her boobs jiggle ever so softly.
Softly? Oh.
Question mark.
Yes, go back to your church and bang your tambourine. Aren't bodies terrible? And, you know, there we go. Yeah.
No, but answer the question. At what age do men realise that they are sick?
If they are in a horrible environment that sounds like you were in, whoever this questioner is, probably in the Bible Belt, then I suspect they're told they're sick pretty much from the age that they first hear their first sermon, and they are commanded to be well.
This is true.
You are created sick and commanded to be well.
I'm really enjoying the phrasing, her boobs jiggle ever so softly.
Yeah, I thought that sounded good.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds to me like a Bible belter.
Do you think it sounds to me like a person who's had a horrible experience with men?
Sounds to me like a Bible belter.
I can't believe you won't answer, do you love me?
You won't answer who?
You won't answer the question of, do you love me?
I did.
You prevaricated and avoided.
It's like Prince Charles when he was asked whether he loved Princess Diana. What is love exactly? That probably means I'm going to have you killed in a tunnel.
Oh, I'm just looking at these questions. Men, are you more disgusted by menstrual blood or rape? Wow, what a question.
Menstrual blood, obviously.
Obviously, I mean, it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
Call me old-fashioned.
But, you know, the sin of Eve every month is much worse than the occasional whoopsie slipping.
It's just, oh, that's such an awful question. Like, on what level? How? Where? Oh.
Well, didn't George Galloway say that once there have been a few insurgents, you can't question everyone or something?
Yes, George Galloway did say. George Galloway is also currently trying to sue people for retweeting something someone said about him on Twitter that he didn't like.
Yes, indeed.
His lawyers have sent out threats of demanding an initial payment of £5,000 with more costs to come.
Yes.
Because they retweeted something that was critical of George Galloway.
Yes, and quite accurately critical, actually, bearing in mind the evidence that was behind it. But there we go.
He's
a lovely man. I'm glad he's everybody's hero, all your friends' hero.
He's such a special chap.
He's very special. Yeah. I saw him in a bookshop once with a number of his wives behind him and some children.
Did you?
Yeah. He was not happy that day. His wives looked a bit cowed as well. I imagine they don't go through the best of lives, shall we say.
Why do feminists think they are morally and culturally superior to me just because I like slutty women in the media?
Well, they shouldn't. What's wrong with slutty women in the media?
I was going to argue it's because they're slightly morally and culturally superior to him.
No, I think slutty women in the media are fine.
I don't.
So you slut shame, do you?
Yes.
So you fall into a trap there. You're not the feminist you thought you were because you slut shame.
No, it's because I don't think women should be allowed in the media.
Except
I don't know how you've become so confused.
Except Moira Stewart.
Why do vets castrate dogs and cats when they could just give them vasectomies? Well, there we go. Our final question.
Well, that is an interesting. Wouldn't they have greater pleasure if they just had vasectomies, or the lady cats were put on the pill?
That's what we should do.
Yeah, give gentlemen cats vasectomies and put lady cats on the pill. You know, those long term implants.
Oh, I'm gonna force them to put Lucy's ovaries back in.
Yes, and just make sure that Lucy has a female condom in at all times.
That's right. Fine. She'll give her a coil.
Give Lucy.
Yeah.
Or counsel her on abstinence.
That's a good idea. I'm gonna get her a silver ring to wear one round her paws.
The silver ring thing for a feline.
That's right.
Can you imagine?
Perfect.
Now, Lucy, when you go out tonight, be sure you're back in time. And if any of the Toms try anything on you, yeah, just show him your silver ring. There you go. I think we've solved that one.
I think we have.
Shall we say goodbye?
We should. I'm just going to say goodbye with this last question. How horrible is it to live with a woman? I don't know how guys are able to stand it. Sounds like an epic pain in the butt.
But in a less facetious way, you were worried about that, and it turned out to be okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't so much a woman, but it was just anybody.
It's true.
Thinking is, how the hell can you live with anybody? And the answer is, it doesn't seem likely, but you make your adaptations.
You sacrifice all your happiness.
That's right.
There you go.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.